Thank you, Michael. John Masters wrote a book called From Bugles and the Tiger. And then in the 1930s, a Gurkha rifleman escaped from a Japanese prison in South Burma. He walked 600 miles alone through the jungles to freedom. The journey took him 5 months. For one thing, he couldn't speak Burmese, and for another, he regarded all Burmese as traitors. He used a map, and when he reached India, he proudly showed his map to the intelligence officers that greeted him. They wanted to know all about his odyssey, marked in pencil, very carefully, were all the turns he had taken, all of the roads and trail forks he had passed, the rivers he had crossed. It had served him well, that map. The intelligence officers did not find it so useful. He was using a street map of the city of London. Where is our life headed? What map are we following? If we follow Jesus and take up our cross, it leads to heaven and the greatest gathering of all. Let me say a prayer and we'll launch together into Revelation 5. Father, help us now. We come to your word, your living word. Fulfill your promise. Bring it alive in our hearts and minds. Draw us to this throne that we're about to read of, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The context, Revelation chapter 5. The book of Revelation, as Pastor Chris introduced our series last weekend, it's all about the revelation of God, the revealing of God, the unveiling of God. It is both foretelling what is to come, and it is forthtelling. It's the thus saith the Lord to his church kind of message. Chapter 1, it begins to unveil the vision that John has received. Chapters 2 and 3, it's the word of God for the people of God in the seven churches. Chapter 4, it begins to describe this throne that's centered in a place called heaven. Chapter 5, we have some characters in the story. There's the throne of heaven, and then there's a scroll and a lamb, capital L. Heaven, you see, is centered around this throne where Jesus sits. They have a scroll with seven seals, but there's a problem. Each seal has new information that is to be revealed and unveiled, but they can find no one who's worthy enough to open the seven different seals, to hear the message that God has for his church. No one found worthy except for Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Lamb of God. And as Jesus takes this scroll, we begin to see an image where all of heaven falls down before the throne to worship Jesus. Chapter 5, verse 11, then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders. I looked. The image of this word means that we're looking to see and we're looking to understand and we're looking to know. And then he says, I looked again. Good carpenters, measure twice, cut once. Some of you have heard that before. As parents, we teach our children to look twice before crossing the road. There are moments in life when we do a double take, hardly believing what we just saw. To be sure of what we see, he says, I looked again. He says, I heard. Again in the language, I heard, I was listening so intently, I wanted to hear and I wanted to understand and I wanted to know. You remember hearing something ever so faintly far off in the distance, and it grew in intensity as it drew near. A train, a thunderstorm. He looked again. He saw and heard the voices of thousands and millions, many voices, yet one voice. Too many to count. They were gathered around the throne. A throne, that's where royalty are seated, and on this throne is Jesus, the King of Kings, seated on his throne, and then gathered around this throne where Jesus is seated. They're gathered in worship. Imagine the scene. They're all gathered as close to the front as they can. We see that sometimes at a concert or a play or our children's presentations or an athletic competition. We want to be as close to the action as possible, and that's the image of heaven, the gathered around the throne. Some have been taught to enter into their church with an attitude that communicates there's no place like this place, any place. This is the place to be. And that is very much the expression of heaven as they push close to the throne of heaven. All of life is directed toward the invitation for us to share in this moment when life here is over. And gathered around the throne are angels. What are the angels? Are they the souls of those who have died and entered into the presence of God? Sometimes the Bible refers to angels as the messengers of God. Sometimes they're referred to in the Bible as guardians of the church and God's people, living beings. Sometimes that's translated as beasts or animals, and the elders all pushing in close around the throne. Elders here probably refers to more than those who have seniority and age. More likely elders in terms of spiritual authority and the economy of heaven. By the way, it's the same word in the Greek that we use, and the reason why we call the men and women in our church who have been ordained as pastors, elders. But they're all gathered around, they're pushing in close, they're around the throne, and they're worshiping as one voice. Some of you are in the building on Wednesday nights, and we get this unusual blessing as we watch. As we watch the choir rehearse, we listen. We're in other meetings throughout the building, yet we hear the choir. They're rehearsing and they're learning the songs and they're preparing their hearts for Sunday morning worship, and we get caught up in the experience of hearing them practice. And that is the story of why we gather every weekend, every Sunday morning, because this is our practice. This is our rehearsal, getting ready to join this crowd pushing in around the throne, thousands and millions singing, but yet with one voice. Some lessons here in this verse for us. There is a throne that one day will draw all of us close. But to enjoy and experience the fullness of the moment, we have to give our throne to Jesus. As long as we sit on the throne, we miss the blessing that this is describing. A lesson for us is that the world does not revolve around you or me. We do give love and honor to family and friends. We receive and share with gratitude the blessings that God provides. But we should never forget it's never about us. We were created to know God, to make Him known. We were created to glorify or worship God and enjoy Him forever. And then we come to verse 12. This scene, they're gathered, they're pushing in, they're all around this throne, and they sang. In a mighty chorus, worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, they sang. Their words were so full of joy, they couldn't contain themselves and they broke into song. It's a song that bubbles up from the soul. I will be forever impressed by the faith that was found in the dark stain of the soul of our nation in American slavery. The days of slavery when people were treated more as livestock than human, treated more as property than humanity, hot sun and cotton fields and cruel conditions. And yet, as they worked, they created these spiritual songs that have endured, that are still with us today, and they were simply expressions of prayer from their heart that bubbled forth into song. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. The longing of their heart expressed in song, and in heaven our hearts will be so full of joy we break into song. I remember the indescribable joy I felt as a first-time father as we brought a daughter home from the hospital. And she'd awaken in the middle of the night, and I would jump out of bed and I'd ask Ellen if I could have a turn. I was so full of joy at this opportunity to carry our child, our first, our daughter, around in the darkness just trying to calm her so she could find sleep again. And my heart was so full of joy, I started making up these songs and singing to her. And as I sang to her, she stopped crying and got these big eyes. She was probably saying, "What's this tone-deaf guy doing? What is he trying to do to me?" But my heart was so full of joy, I made up these songs. I remember just a few of those lines that I would sing to her. I won't sing them to you now. Do you know that's the story of God and Zephaniah 3, where God was so excited to look down and see you and see me. The prophet says that God took such delight in you, and he looks at you with such great joy and gladness, he starts to sing to you. He starts to sing over you. But here, all hearts and all voices echo in one song back to our God of unfailing love. One mighty chorus, they sing as if with one voice, and they sing in perfect harmony. No superstars, no one tone deaf like Roger anymore. Musical perfection in all of those voices, yet one voice. Sometimes you're gathered with family and friends. Could be a wedding reception, a family reunion. So many times when family and friends come together, and in those moments, there's a multitude of conversations taking place around the room, and you're aware of the conversation that you're taking part in, but you're oblivious to all of the other conversations around you. But sometimes when family and friends come together, there is one great conversation that captivates the room. Every ear is listening in, sharing the experience together. And this is the story of heaven as we're drawn to the throne of Jesus. We are created to worship our God of unfailing love. He alone is to be our first love. He alone is to be our greatest love. What was their song? The song was Jesus, the hero of heaven and earth. I won't ask, but I imagine a few of you have been out to see Avengers. Last weekend, setting box office records, $1.2 billion globally. After 1 week, already the fifth highest grossing film of all time. Eventually, soon to surpass Avatar as the highest grossing film ever. A world with a longing for a hero story. But here, we read that Jesus is the hero of heaven and earth. Jesus, the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for the sins of the world. They're singing that Jesus is worthy. Jesus has demonstrated that he deserves our thanks. He has demonstrated that his love deserves our greatest love. And they're singing that Jesus is worthy to receive power to control the universe, dunamis, the word for dynamite, the power of God at work in our soul and our heart, the desire to do all of God's will that's given back to Jesus in worship and service to him. They're singing a song that Jesus is worthy to receive riches. The Bible says the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. He has an abundance of resources for us as we live out his will in this life. But we give it back to Jesus in worship and service to him. They're singing that Jesus is worthy to receive wisdom, to rule with a perfect justice, the ability to learn and find meaning and understanding and set things right. But we give it back to Jesus in worship and service. He's worthy to receive strength as he holds back the oceans and sets the mountains in place. It's the same power of God at work in our bodies, the power given to us to do his will, and it's given back to Jesus in worship and service. He is worthy to receive honor as the highest and most deserving. It's a reverence for the price that he paid to set us free, and it's given back to Jesus in worship and service to him. He's worthy to receive glory. Glory speaks of the adoration we have for who Jesus is. Glory refers to his magnificent brightness found nowhere else in the universe. A magnificent brightness on display for all the world to see, and it's given back to Jesus in worship and service to him. And he's worthy to receive blessing. It's our unending praise, our unending thanks and gratitude as we live lives of love, all given back to Jesus and worship and service to Him. Forgive me, I've shared this before, but if I may, I want to come back to it again. When I was in high school in a literature class, I was introduced to a poem by Rabindranath Tagore. The poem is very simply, "I have spent my life stringing and unstringing my instrument, and the song I came to sing remains unsung. I heard it once, and it spoke to me. And even though I was in my rebel years fighting God's call on my life to be a pastor, I made a promise that that was not going to be the story of my life. Tone deaf that I am, I was going to give my life singing the song that God gave me, and I was not going to finish my life with a song unsung." What's the song of your heart this morning? What's the song that God is bubbling up within you that He wants to release for the world to hear? God wants to hear our voices, our lives expressed in song with all of our flaws and foibles. He wants us to sing the song of our life. Let your life sing for Jesus. Join in this great chorus. Sing for Jesus. Get caught up in worship. Dance like no one is watching except Jesus. Sing like no one's listening except Jesus. The lesson here, life here has real hardship, real suffering, and real pain. But you see, heaven has already started celebrating. They're celebrating Jesus' victory over the hardship and suffering and loss of this world. Today we experience all of those things, and it brings real tears. Yet we live with a promise that Jesus has something indescribably better awaiting for us, so great that we won't be able to remember the hardship and suffering and pain and loss that we experience now. Heaven has already started the celebration, and they invite us to join in and sing the song. We come to our final two verses. And then, I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and they sang, "Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living beings said, "Amen." The 24 elders fell down and they worshiped the Lamb. I heard it. Last Tuesday, I was in McDonald's with my 2-year-old grandson. And I was reminded of the joy of little ones discovering the world around them. Now, it was easier because I'm a grandparent. At the end of our joyful experience, they go home with mom and dad. But we sat in McDonald's, and my 2-year-old grandson was exploring every sound he heard in that McDonald's. All through lunch and his happy meal, he kept saying, "What's that noise?" Endlessly asking, "What's that noise?" He was just fascinated by what was happening around him, and he wanted to hear it all, and he wanted to understand it. And I began to ask myself, when was the last time I approached my day with that kind of desire to explore everything that God is doing in the world around us? What's that noise, God? What's that noise, God? The joy, the childlike faith, listening. Noises from the crew, noises from the kitchen when the French fries are done, when an order's ready to be served. Exploring the world so eager to learn, do I still listen for God's voice with that eagerness? Here's a story of every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, in the sea, everyone alive now, everyone who ever lived. All voices in all places, they're singing one song. Blessing and honor and glory and power belonging to the one who's seated on the throne. He is the Lamb forever and ever. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. You see, it's a song that goes on forever, a song without end, a song that never loses meaning or energy or inspiration. And it's an invitation with a promise, an invitation for us in the pain of this world to join in with the celebration that's already started and is awaiting us. Have you made this promise yours? It can be ours this morning. As we confess and agree with God, as we repent and turn to God, as we believe that God loves us and He died for us to set us free, as we receive the new life that's only found in Jesus. They gathered before the throne and they said, Amen. Amen is a word that comes from the tradition of ancient Judaism. As the people would gather in the synagogue, the priest would read the scroll or offer a prayer, and as he was done, the people who were listening would all say, Amen. And with one voice, they were saying, We agree. May it be so. Let it be as God has spoken. The countless angels in the heavenly choir all sang with one voice, everyone who's ever alive, who's ever lived, who's alive now, in one place singing, and at the end of the end of it all, they say, we say amen, we agree, may it be so, let it be as God has said. Psalm 30 says, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm 30 says, God, you have turned my mourning, my loss, into joyful dancing. You've taken away the clothes of mourning and loss and clothed me with joy. Today, life can be hard, but there, the celebration is already underway, and they're so excited. They're inviting us now in this place to join them in the song that they sing. We have a dear friend who has been a mentor to us, and he was taught by his father, as he taught us and countless others. One of the best words of advice he would share with family and friends, whatever you do, don't miss heaven. Don't miss this gathering around the throne. And this morning, this is an invitation for us to start living for heaven today. The celebration is underway, and they invite us to sing with them. Father, help us as we discover the joy of singing through the pain, as we discover the joy of what you have in store for us. Help us now to go and live this out in the midst of the challenges of this world. May we sing with joyful hearts, awaiting that moment as we gather around the throne. Amen. We're going to take the final moments to come to the Lord's table. We'll have a reading on the screen in just a moment, and I invite you to join with me. May I share the invitation to the Lord's table. If you sincerely confess your need for forgiveness, if you can honestly say that you love your neighbor, if the longing of your heart is to be more like Jesus, we invite you to come in faith, take the bread and the cup as an act of confession to our loving God. Let us pray together. We confess our desire for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. God, we long to live in your presence. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Let's pray together that your church on earth might reflect the beautiful diversity of heaven, that we would bring honor to your name even now, that thankfulness would be the theme of our daily worship of you. Bind us in unity as we pray in harmony. Our Father, Lord, in heaven. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we come to the table prepared by your Son, our Lord Jesus, as an act of worship. And we pray that your presence, your glory, would shine in and through us to this watching world. Amen. I'll invite the pastors and those who are serving to come and take their places as they receive the bread and tray and they are in place. We'll invite you to come. We ask that you wait to partake of the bread and the cup until all have been served. We'll invite you forward in just a moment. Go ahead, Bill. Please come and receive the Lord's table.